Brothers and sisters, greeting you in Christ. Let's open the Bible. Just now, Pastor Jerry Olivetti have read the whole chapter of John 17. I would like to focus on the verse 3 today, and I encourage you to memorize the verse and let the verse printed in our hearts. Please let me read the verse again. This is the word of God. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let us pray. As God bless his people, bless his word. God, our Heavenly Father, thank you. We thank you for your steadfast love. We thank you for you send your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, so that whoever believe him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, I pray that you will be with us. You will lead us to believe in you and your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray that you will bless your word, that you will convert whoever now have not really believed in Christ. Lord, for those who have believed in Christ, I pray that you will bless us, that in the eternal life you have given us, we may live, love, and serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Life is busy. Our life is usually jammed with a lot of things. But what's the most important in our life? What is the essential thing in our life? To put it more directly and briefly, what will you do if you have only 3 days, even 1 day of your life? What will you do if you have only 3 days, even 1 day of your life? What is the most essential thing you have to do? A couple weeks ago, we have a workers' retreat in our church. You know, nowadays in China, every people, even Christians, are busy. We are busy with a lot of things. We have a lot of reason to busy, to hurry, but not slow down to think. So in the retreat, I encourage my co-workers to just slow down, to be quiet, to think the question, what will you do if you have only 3 days or even 1 day of your life? And I ask them to be quiet for 15 minutes. And I got quiet also. In the 15 minutes, God taught me a lot of things. What's the most important thing? What's the most essential thing I have to do in this life? This is what God teaches me. For me, myself, is it not to know Christ and make him my own? For people I love, is it not to present Christ to them? Besides that, what should I do? Or all things I do should be focused on the aim to, for me myself to know Christ and make him my own. For people I love, to present Christ to him, to them, so that they may also know Christ and gain them, gain him. So now, this is the passage before us. This is the words before us. I believe this is the message from God to every one of us. God commands us, God urges us. This is the most important and essential thing for you in your life, to know Christ and make him your own. This is the most important and essential thing you can do for people you love, to present Christ to them so that they may know Christ. Let's go to the passage, go to the Word of God. Actually, let's think of at what time Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 17. Actually, it is the last day of Jesus Christ in this world, right? He has only one day left in this world as a human being. What did Jesus do? Let's go to the larger context of the passage. In the first beginning of the Gospel of John, John gave the context of Jesus Christ, his life. In the beginning, there was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus Christ, the eternal Word, the second person of triune God, he became flesh. Why he became flesh? He became flesh for you and me, to save us from death and sin. He became flesh under the law. He became the flesh in humility, just like you and me. He was born in a manger. He lived 33 years of life. And then, in John chapter 17, he came to the end of his life in this world. He, in the last day of his life, he had a long farewell speaking to his disciples from John chapter 14 to 16. John 14, 15, 16. It's a deeply emotional word, loving words of Jesus Christ to his disciples. And after his words, he prayed for his disciples. So John chapter 17 usually is called the Great Priest's Prayer. He prayed for his disciples in his last day. What did he pray? In the beginning of the prayer, he tells us the relationship between him and his Father, God his Father. And he tells us the purpose why he came to the world. You see, verse 2, since you have given him authority over all flesh, to give eternal life to all whom you have given him. And then he tells us the task, the purpose he came to the world. And then he tells us What is eternal life? Verse 3, and this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let's focus our attention to this verse. And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Let's ask the first question, what is eternal life? To answer the question, first, we have to confess that we had no eternal life outside Jesus Christ, right? When we were born, we had no eternal life. We all have died in Adam. The whole Bible tells us God is the God of covenant. In the beginning, he made a covenant with Adam, our ancestor, our root. He made the covenant, and this covenant is called the covenant of life. God wanted to give eternal life to Adam and his offsprings in him. This covenant is also a covenant of God's grace. But we all know Adam fell, and we all fell into sin and misery. So, brothers and sisters, we have died. If we are not regenerated by Christ, by God, we have no eternal life, actually. Children, I know you have happy life. You have loving father and mother. But without Christ, you are also dead. That's the misery of our life. What is eternal life? First, we had no eternal life. Isaiah, the prophet, cried to God. He said in Isaiah 54:6, he said, "We have all become like one who is unclean, and all our righteous deeds are like a polluted garment. We all fade like a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, take us away." Just imagine there is a fish in front of us. The fish should swim in the river freely, right? Often I'm thinking we are like a fish. Every individual of us is like a fish. The whole human being is like a fish. We should swim in the water freely and joyfully. We should live in our God. But now, because of the sin, Satan by the sin, throw grasshoppers out of the water and throw that into the dry land. Just think the fish on the dry land. What should it do? I don't know how to speak in English, but you can just imagine. It is very uncomfortable, right? So, every individual, people in China, They want to pursue a happier life. They want to go to the U.S. They think U.S. is a beautiful, good country. They want to earn their good life. They work hard. They pain for a good life. But no use. Human being as a whole, we want to have a better life. We resort to science, democracy, the government of law. But the key, the root of the problem is our sin. We are like the fish. Out of the water. Psalm 36 verse 9 said, "For with you is the fountain of life. In your light do we see light." But without God, beyond Christ, we are just dying. How can the fish get better in its life? Just get back to the river, right? But can the fish do it by itself? No. The fish cannot go back to the water itself. Just like us, we cannot solve our sin, the problem. We cannot get eternal life. Praise the Lord. It's impossible for us, but nothing is impossible for our God. He has a plan. The plan revealed in John, the Gospel of John, from the beginning till the end. Jesus, in his last prayer in the world for us, the great priest's prayer, he tells us his goal to come to this world is to give us eternal life. And this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How Jesus gave us eternal life. First, he the one who revealed to us what God is. From the beginning of the Gospel of John, no one had ever seen God, the only God, but the only Son who is in the bosom of Father. He has made him known. Jesus made God known to us. But let us think. If Jesus just lived in this world, although he lived in completely obedient life, he lived for 33 years, can that save us? No. It cannot save us because we are still sinners. We are still dead in sin. This Jesus Christ, our Savior, not only he lived for us for 33 years, he died. He died for you and me. He became sin. He became condemnation itself. It's incredible for me. Chinese translation of the Bible, sometimes to let people understand better, cannot convey the complete meaning of the Bible. So let us go to Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse. Dear brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ, he is a curse when he was on the cross. Chinese Bible says he bear curse. I don't think that's exact. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ became a curse when he was on the cross, so that he redeemed us from the curse of the law. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree. Brothers and sisters, I would like you just think, it's incredible, the eternal Son of God, he became a curse. But that's a good news for us. Since he became a curse, you and I will not be cursed. You and I will not perish, but we have the eternal life. You are not to be cursed. In some sense, you are not a sinner. I know when I say in such a way, it's dangerous. Someone may say you are teaching some bad things. So I say, in our status, in God's eyes, we are just like his Son, Jesus Christ. He loved us just as he loved his Son. Let's go to John chapter 17 in the prayer. In the end of verse 23, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you loved me. Jesus became a curse. Jesus was cursed so that you and I will not be cursed, and we have eternal life. That eternal life is the life of Jesus Christ. He is willingly to share his life to all of us who believe in him. And you know, he died for us, and he resurrected from the dead. He gave us a life of resurrection so that we have hope. For us, it's impossible, but for God, nothing is impossible. He planned the salvation for us. He accomplished the salvation for us. That's in God's side. He is gracious God. But in our side, what should we do? What should we get the life? John chapter 3, verse 17 says, verse 16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. God planned the salvation for us, and he also planned the means of salvation, that the means we receive the salvation, That is through faith. Let's go back to the verse. Verse 3. And this is eternal life, that you, they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Go back to the verse. I read a commentary. It says, this verse is talking of the requirement of eternal life, not the definition of eternal life. How do you think? The commentary says, this verse is talking of the requirement of eternal life, not the definition of eternal life. How do you think of it? What's your opinion? I don't agree with the commentary. Yes, it is the requirement of eternal life to know you, the only God, only true God, and to know Christ whom you sent. This is the requirement of eternal life. Without faith, without knowing God, we will have no eternal life. But it is not just so. To know God and to know Jesus Christ, it is not only the requirement of eternal life. It is the content and essence of eternal life. Eternal life is about knowing you, the only true God, and knowing Christ Jesus. Let's think little by little. First, what is to know? What is to know? To know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. To know God means we have the personal relationship with God based on belief. Without belief, you will not know God, right? Without belief and trust, we will not have personal relationship with each other, right? To know God means the personal relationship with God based on belief. Dear brothers and sisters, children, do you believe God? Do you really believe in Him? Do you trust in Him? It's not about knowledge in mind. It's not about just attend some religious activities. People may know knowledge of God in their mind, but they do not really know God. People may attend morning worship, evening worship, but he may not really know God. Do not misunderstand me. I don't say that's bad. It's good to attend worship. That's the means of grace God gave, so that we can receive God's grace. It's good to read the Bible, to read theological books, to know more in our mind of God. But the essence is have real personal relationship with God based on belief. First, you must believe God is your God, is my God. God is real. He loves the world that He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have eternal life. only through faith. He shared his life with us, and we share his. So the faith is the glue made us together with Christ and in Christ so that we can share his life, that which is the eternal life. Dear friends, do you really know God? Do you have true personal relationship with him? Do you have the eternal life? If you believe in him, he's willingly to share his life to you. And the life, the eternal life, you cannot see by your eyes in flesh, but the eternal life can be manifested through your living. So this eternal life can be seen and checked in our life. As Jesus Christ said, a good tree will bear good fruit. Bad tree will bear bad fruits. We are Christians through faith in Christ. And through faith, we have the eternal life. And through faith, we live in the eternal life. And this eternal life, although we cannot see through our eye in flesh, but it can be checked and manifested in our living. Do you have such a faith? It is the requirement of eternal life to know you, the only true God, and to know Jesus Christ, whom you sent. But I would like to say, it's not just the requirement. It is the content and essence of eternal life. What is eternal life? We are living with the eternal life to know Christ and know him more and more, to present Christ to others, to let them know Christ more and more. This is Christian life. As Paul says in Romans 1:17, Christian life is from faith for faith, from faith to faith. The personal relationship can be and should be deepened and deepened. Think of your relationship with your beloved ones. Children, you can think of your relationship with your parents. Do you just want to know he is your father, he is your dad, he is your mom? No. You want to love your mom and dad more and more, and you want your mom and dad love you more and more. The personal relationship can be and should be deepened and deepened. And then let us think of the relationship between husband and wife. Actually, throughout the Bible, God let us know the relationship of him and his people. It's just like husband and wife. Christ and his church is like husband and wife. You want your relationship get deepened and deepened. That's a loving personal relationship. In Genesis 4:1 says, "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain." To know means this personal loving relationship, just like husband and wife. So how can we just stay in the beginning of know God, but do not pursue deeper and deeper relationship? If husband and wife just get married in the legal aspect, it will be very sad, right? We are not husband and wife in the aspects of law. We are loving relationship. So Christian life is about to know God and know Christ more and more. So how do you know God and Christ more and more deeply? How do you do that? First, just think of personal relationship. If you want to have further relationship with someone, just listen to him and talk to him, right? When you listen, someone speaks to you. And when you speak to him, you get closer relationship. So that's the same with our relationship with God. Listen to him every day. Listen to him when you sit here attending public worship. Listen to him. He is the living God speaking to you through his servants, through your brothers and sisters, through the Holy Bible. He loves you. He speaks to you. He wants to have relationship, closer relationship with you. So listen to him and also talk to him. Talk to him. Devote your desire to him. Now you know, I'm not telling you some new things. I'm just talking of the ordinary means of grace, right? The word of God and prayer. And we got to know God deeper through the community, through our fellowship as God's people. We talk with each other to know what God has done in our brothers and sisters, and so we will get encouraged to know God more. So listen to him, talk to him, talk about him with our brothers and sisters. But I don't want to just stop here. I want to challenge you, brothers and sisters, not just read the word of God, not just pray, not just have fellowship with each other. Serve him. Go out to do evangelism. There are so many people need the gospel. And I'm very willing to invite you to go to China in some way, maybe English class, maybe something, to serve him. Do what he wants you to do. Serve his church. When you serve him, you will experience his mercy. Yes, when you serve him, you will encounter many difficulties. You will get frustrated. You will get depressed. sometimes you will get very, very sad. But in this experience, you can know God is true God, is living God. He will comfort you. Jesus says, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. Jesus says, whoever has my commandments and keep them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Do what God wants you to do. I think that is excellent way to know God deeply. And I'm afraid many Christians ignore such a way. We want to know God more, but we want to live an easy life. We want to live an individual life. No one will disturb me. But that's not the way God wants us to live. Go back to the first question in the beginning. Brothers and sisters, what will you do if you have only 3 days, even 1 day of life, of your life? Is it not to know Christ and make him your own? Is it not to present Christ to the people you love? How can you love people better? To present Christ to them. In him, you and the people you love will have eternal life. And in this eternal life, we live, we serve, we love. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Father in heaven, I give thanks to you for your steadfast love, for your eternal love. Lord, in the eternity, you plan the great salvation for the one you love, for us. Through faith, we receive Christ Jesus Christ so that we may not perish but have eternal life. Lord, I pray that here everyone will truly, really know Christ Jesus, have the personal, loving relationship with him, for he is so lovable. For he loves us. Lord, I pray that here everyone will have eternal life. We are not just here to listen to some words from human being. We are here to listen to your words. You, the living God, speaks to your people. Lord, thank you. And I pray that here, when we have believed in Christ, know him, we will have deeper relationship, further knowledge of him. And in the eternal life you give us, we may live, serve, and love earnestly. Lord, we devote our life to you. Please use it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please rise up and sing Psalm 57b.
Uh-huh.